This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Get your motor
running. Fender Bender on Joy 94.9, revving up the weekends with news and views on all things motoring.
Yes, hello. Once again, welcome to another edition of Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. This is Joy's very own motoring program, so if you are a rev head, you are in the right place, and if you are not, then you should stick around because you might become one in within the next hour. Who knows? A massive thanks to Luke and the gang for Critical Hit for all of your gaming needs. Make sure you're listening to those guys next week because they are rather wonderful. So do that. I'm joined in the studio by Dan Gardner and Tony O'Kane. Hello, boys.
Oh, hello. Sorry, I didn't realize we're doing this bit.
Oh, no, we're just doing a real quick one. Hi. I can't even see you, Tony. This is really weird. I'm going to have to move my microphone around so I can see you. Hello.
This makes me uncomfortable.
Good start. Excellent. You're freaking your guests out already, too.
That's it. Now, you guys, well, Dan, you've been away. We're going to talk a lot about where you've been this week. You've been to Frankenfurt. You've popped Lederhausen on, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You'll get the Wurst in there and look fabulous. Yes, that's right.
I feel like there's going to be a lot of sausage jokes today.
Well, more than usual?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. That's it. So we'll be looking at Dan's Kransky a little bit later and doing laps of a big ring, apparently, as well. Okay, sorry.
Let's just leave it there and let people guess.
I think so. Yeah, that's true. But we do have lots coming up. We're talking all about the Frankfurt Motor Show. So we're going to go through all of the very sexy metal that came up there. And Tony takes us for a bit of a lap around Winton Motor Raceway as well, which is very exciting. Now, one of us has been somewhere glamorous this week. The rest of us
Tony.
Stuck here. Tony.
Well, yeah, I went to Bunnings this morning. I was
just talking about that. We thought we had that covered.
Did you get a sausage?
No, I don't.
Oh.
No,
you don't?
No.
Ever.
No,
what? Explain yourself. Bunnings is an institution. The Bunnings sausage is something everyone does, isn't it?
Not me.
It's for charitable charitable reasons. You know, it always goes to some primary school's sports day.
Well, I'm against that. I am against that,
Wow.
Too much charity. Everyone wants a handout. Everyone wants to give you a sausage in exchange for some goodwill. No.
Easy.
That's amazing.
Easy.
But moving on from Bunnings, you have been to Frankfurt. We're going to talk about it very, very soon. But the one big thing, I guess, that happened was the reveal of the cars, ladies and gentlemen, that we'll see in the next Bond movie.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Spectre, which probably stands for something. I don't know. I don't know Bond that well.
Is it? What do you mean? Is there a code? Is there some kind of naming?
An acronym?
I think so. I think it's an acronym because it's in capitals.
Oh.
And I feel like that there's...
You're such a tenacious journalist, aren't you? You never miss a thing, detail.
I'm just on the internet a lot. That's all. No, but I think it does. But anyway, if you can tell us whether it does stand for something, text in 0427JOY949. But the cars, ladies and gentlemen, are provided not only by Aston Martin, but a couple of other British brands, which is very exciting.
Jaguar and Land Rover.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is that so one of them is a Jaguar CX75, I think it's called, which is a sports car concept that never made it to production. It was going to make it production, then it wasn't, then it was. Like, it's had this weird history of, like, will they make it? Yeah, no, yes, no, yes, no. And they've said they're not going to make it. So
does this sort of herald a new era where car makers, they can't use a concept, so it's like a $2 shop for they just farm them off and say, oh, that one's a bit crap, we couldn't use that on the road, so we'll just chuck it in the next Bond film or whatever's going.
Really strange, right?
Yeah, I suppose these are hard times. You can't afford to, waste anything, so it's like recycling concepts.
Maybe it's just a different approach to focus grouping, they're just sort of sending it out by the movie and gauge your reaction on, social media and stuff. It's like,
what do we think of it then?
CX-75.
So CX-75, it sounds like a really big Mazda SUV.
It does a little bit. Look, it's a sexy thing. I think it's always been a sexy thing, but...
I reckon I know why it never went to production. Mm. It just doesn't... There's something about it that doesn't quite sit right.
Yeah.
It's got a very nice bum on it, but the front end just... I don't know.
It's something, not quite right.
It either doesn't say Jaguar enough, or it's just a little bit too... I don't know.
It certainly doesn't say new Jaguar.
No, it doesn't.
No.
I wonder how old the concept was, because, concepts don't break cover until many years after they were first conceived.
Yeah.
It's a bit XJ220, which is now a very old car, which was one of the first cars in the world to crack the magic 200-mile-an-hour barrier.
Okay.
And it was a bit of a failure, actually. Oh, okay. But there's a little bit of that in it, I think. That was a production car in this one.
Well, the other, well, they've got a couple of other things as well that that you can go into the shops and buy, which is Range Rover Sport SVR, which, P.S., I saw one in my area last week and it looked hot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's one here already. That's pretty quick.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It was in this underground car park and I nearly weed in
Tim's
my
been
pant.
Hanging around the underground.
I have, yeah.
No surprise hood. There then.
East Brunswick hood, look out. No, so the Range Rover Sport SVR and a beefier version of the Land Rover Defender. Mm. That has been tweaked by their special... I nearly said Special Victims Unit because I watched that trailer.
Special. What would it look like if it had been tweaked by them?
Oh, a lot of bullet holes.
Yeah. Well, it is actually, it's covered in mud.
Interior.
Mm. It does look like it's been some kind of incident.
Yeah. So Special Vehicles Operations,
yeah,
which is their version of... well, it's not really their version of AMG because it's a whole different kind of... They're doing heaps of different things doing Land Rover, aren't they? So
it's cool. So they've pumped it up. It's got higher suspension. It's got tyres that look like they were made... Oh, Critical Hit was on just a moment ago. Mm. We should have spoken to them about Minecraft because you know how everything's made out of blocks in the game Minecraft? Well, the tyres look like that.
Yeah.
They do. They're amazing.
Pretty chunky.
Yeah, right. There you go.
It's a pretty cool-looking thing, though.
Yeah.
And it's been photographed in all the mud still, so it sort of looks like... Now, I think it might actually be a little bit of fake mud. I'm just putting it out there. Call me cynical, you know, but I think it was not real... Thank
Movies
you.
Wouldn't lie to us. Come on. These are practically documentaries. Everything's real.
Can
it's
you,
true.
Is it an urban myth? Has anyone ever actually seen cans of spray on mud?
Yeah, you can get them.
No. Have you actually seen it?
No.
Yeah,
okay, all right.
I think it's an urban legend.
It's a believable one, though.
Is it? Who seriously is going to buy a can of spray on mud? And what sort of style do you do? What strokes do you need to paint mud?
That's a good point.
You know, if you just spray it on, it will look like someone has...
I think the lack of artistic talent would be a benefit.
I think it has to look absolutely right. You know, it's like the windswept look, you know. You can't
feather it.
That takes me hours to get it right in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't fake it.
You need chunks of mud as well. You can't just be thin dusting.
Exactly. So if you're out there and you have actually seen cans of spray on mud, let us know. 0427JOY949. Email onair@joy.org.au. Can you actually buy canned mud?
I'm calling BS on this.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, as you say, let us know if we are wrong. We might. It's happened before.
And if that does exist, I'm going to get a can and we're going to road test a can.
Yeah.
I'm going to
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I'm going to spray...
Let's do it on... I've got a Renault Captor at the moment. Why don't we do it
No. Let's get something totally inappropriate. Let's get like one of the Lamborghinis, for example, or something that definitely wouldn't ever get mud on it and do a really good elaborate mud spray on.
Defecatal.
Yeah.
Literally. I mean,
Tim, you always have to make about scat, don't you? God, honestly.
We'll play Scatman John later. Now, moving along just a little bit, though, on that. So they all also announced, so we're going to see the Aston Martin DB10, stop laughing at me, Dan Gardner, the Aston Martin DB10 in the new Bond movie, which is not a real car, it's a production car, but they announced at Frankfurt as well that the next Aston Martin sports car will be called a DB11,
so,
which is not very exciting.
Well, it's not, but it's a very logical naming process.
Yeah.
I think it sounds good. DB11. Yeah. DB11.
Well, they're just going to keep going, I guess, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, good on them.
Yeah.
Have we seen it? What does it look like? No, we haven't seen the DB11 yet, have we?
No.
It just told us the name.
DB10.
You would suspect that the concept car from Bond would have some of those characteristics.
Well, apparently, it's going to be quite different.
Oh.
That's what the designer at Aston Martin said. He said it's going to be differ in some substantial ways.
You know what I mean?
I'd like to think he's connected somewhat to the project.
Probably.
Possibly.
Now, some slightly controversial news, guys. In America, Volkswagen's gotten a little bit of trouble, we found out this morning. The Guardian is reporting that...
The what, sorry?
The Guardian.
Wow, I've not heard of that paper.
It's Ghana, yes.
Oh, great.
So Gandhi, it's all about Gandhi.
Yeah, sure.
Mahatma Gandhi. There we go. Passive
resistance and everything. Yeah.
Pack of jerks. Look, they've gotten into a little bit of strife and they might see a bit of legal action. So the US government has ordered Volkswagen in America to recall about 500,000 cars after they've discovered that the company has deployed sophisticated software, to cheat emission tests, allowing its cars to produce up to 40 times more pollution than allowed.
Wow.
Isn't that outrageous?
That is dodgy.
So they're suggesting that this software kicks in when it's being tested for emissions, and they're alleging that it's deceptive, which
That is so cool.
Not great.
That's great. What are you talking about? That's brilliant.
What are you talking about?
That's fantastic. That's well. So, you know, as I've always said, Tim, there's no such thing as cheating. There's just different ways of doing things and better ways of doing things. I didn't tell my ex that.
I was going to say, oh God.
But you know what they've done is they've been faced with a problem, which is, you know, emissions rules are making it difficult to make fun cars.
True.
So in the same way that Japanese television manufacturers have got a very clever piece of electronics and TVs that makes them break down 13 months after you bought them, so they're just out of... They've come up with this chip that allows them to just sneak through and everyone's happy. Everyone, and, you know, what they don't know isn't going to hurt them.
Wow.
I think this is very clever.
You're happy to be deceived, is that what you're suggesting?
Well, I know now. It makes me want to buy a Volkswagen more because, you know, on the face of it, I'm driving this wonderful sort of, you know, low emissions car. Actually, it's producing loads more power and loads more pollutants. It's brilliant.
Listen to it.
For petrol heads, this is the best news I've heard. But they found out, unfortunately.
Oh, my God. Who is this guy?
I don't know. I get the feeling, going back to James Bond, when you watch a James Bond film, do you end up rooting for the bad guy? Are you
a
sad
little bit,
when they
yeah.
get
well, it's
killed?
The, it's the English accent, you know. It's, you know, if he's an English bad guy, I think there's something a bit hot about that. Really.
That's true. Well, especially if it's, like on the Jaguar ads, basically.
Oh, isn't he wonderful?
They're all good. Oh. They're all good. But look, it's interesting in America, because this isn't the first time we've seen something kind of controversy like this. I think Hyundai and Kia both got in trouble a few years back for stretching the truth.
Yeah.
With their fuel consumption figures and that kind of thing. So it's a bit of a thing over there. We don't know if anything's happening here or anything. We'll find out, I guess, in the next week. But not great PR. Poor old Volkswagen hasn't had a good run.
No, I disagree. And this makes me like them all the more.
You absolute nonce.
Pretty controversial view there.
Yes. He is the shock jock
but it's not
of
like, it's like,
Fender
you know,
Bender.
Takata that make airbags that blow up and shoot people. And it's not like, you know, the other one you're talking about where they're blatantly deceiving people saying this car will save you money because it doesn't use lots of fuel. This one's just saying, oh, well, yeah, it does comply to those emissions rules. But actually, it's not going to harm the customer anyway. It just means it's going to destroy our planet.
I was going to say, yeah, it does harm the customer.
But if it's putting out more emissions, then surely it's burning more fuel and therefore impacting on your hip pocket.
Possibly, but that's not what they're saying. They're just saying it's
Well, anyway. It'll be an interesting story if it is true. Scandal.
Makes you wonder how many others are up to it. You know, look at Jaguar with the new XE. They say that thing, the diesel, will do...
4 litres or something, is it?
4 litres per 100 kilometres, yeah. Are they just lying or have they just come up with a really cool bit of electronics?
I think it's pretty much the latter.
I don't know who to trust anymore.
No, I know. Yeah. But so speaking of controversies in America, so GM, General Motors, obviously the big ignition switch recall disaster that's been going on and on and on. So basically, they're going to be fined $900 million.
What does that even look like?
The US government, which I think equates to about 1.25 billion Australian.
How many widescreen TVs is that? You know, because like everything, you got to put every sum of money into
like Olympic swimming pools.
Right. $10 is a pint. You know, $1,000 is a widescreen TV. You know, it's just sums of cash. So
well, how many Olympic swimming pools can we fill if we converted all that into, say, like dimes?
Yeah.
Wow.
I could really bring it down a little bit and say, well, how many people died because of that ignition switch thing?
Oh, Tim!
So is there really a cost on a human life?
All right, okay, so 0427JOY949. How many bodies does it take to fill? Well, that's effectively what you're asking.
Oh, dear. No, it's very sad because a lot of people have died and the injuries are shocking, but... is this enough? Maybe they could have done more. But GM Mary Barra, who I believe is now your new best friend.
Oh, my God, Mary Barra.
So the head of General Motors.
See this hand? See this hand? That hand? That touched Mary Barra. Not in an appropriate way. No.
Have you washed it yet?
No, it's disgusting. Wow. Yeah, I actually made physical contact with Mary Barra, who is the top man, in inverted commas, at General Motors. She's
a very, very smart, incredible woman.
She is. And you know what? Yeah. She's a little bit fabulous. I mean, you know how I feel about powerful women, you know?
Don't we all?
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. And she's just great, though. She's really nice. She's very approachable. You know, she was surrounded by about 4 bodyguards who were terrifying.
Yes.
And she was just great. She's lovely.
I think out of all of the CEOs of car companies, I'd suspect at the moment, given this... case that's happening in America, she would have constant security.
Harassment from Daniel,
And actual security, very very interesting problem. But anyway, moving right along, we've got a lot to get through, so we're just going to power on, guys. No, not at all, guys. We are going to get into Frankfurt next, so if you're out there listening, make sure you are still listening in a few minutes' time. That would be wonderful. This is Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Tim, Dan and Tony are here with you. Now, Tony, you found out some information. We were talking before about fake mud. Is it a thing? Can you buy it to spray on your car? What is happening?
The answer is yes. After some rigorous online research, which basically meant
Google
through page one of the Google results, I have discovered that, yes, you can buy fake mud in an aerosol can.
No way.
A company in England supposedly made it. It cost £7.95 a bottle.
What?
Sales were particularly strong in America and London, although this article does go back to 2005, so that's a decade ago. I'm not sure if you can still buy it, but at one point you could.
Wow.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to look into it. I'm going to see if I can buy a can, and okay. I'm going to use it. I'm going to do this.
Yeah, do it. Do it.
Thanks, listeners, for finding that out for us. You know, put the call out. You know, we were inundated with Tony on Google. Right, I'm going to put out another question. You better damn well text or email in.
Very good at holding in a swear word there, didn't you, Dan?
Yeah, I did.
Very good. I'm very proud of you.
Okay.
Now, so it has been a big week, and I know Tony and I were stuck in Australia, and that was fine. But it felt like, I don't know if you felt like this, Tony, but I certainly felt like I was there this week. It was so busy and hectic, and there was so much product and news coming down the pipe from Frankfurt. It's such a massive show. It's the biggest show in the world.
Where's this pipe? What's this pipe everyone talks about?
It's an actual news pipe. It ends up in, it comes out in South Melbourne, and you just go and
get a bucket.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Get a bucket of news.
Get your news bucket. You go off to the, you open the news tap.
Pour that on
tap.
Your keyboard.
Why is that you do?
Oh my God, if only it was that easy. Can you imagine?
We'd be out of a job. Let's face it.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, so the large Frankfurt pipe has been opened and there's been news cascading out of that pipe. A torrent of news, one might say.
Oh God, where is this going? Now, you were over there, Dan. You had a fabulous time. We're going to talk a little bit later about some other things you did while you were away.
Yeah.
But the big news of the day, the media day is always really full on. A bit of a scrum. There's, you know, international journalists pushing you out of the way. It's a bit hectic. Poor Harald Kruger, who's the chairman of BMW, found it all a bit overwhelming, didn't he?
He did. He did. He was overcome with the occasion. Now, this is his first major public outing.
Mm.
So, understandably, the pressure would have been on him. He probably would have been extremely nervous.
Yeah.
BMW had a big reveal to do, and their stand was one of the largest in the entire place. Absolutely spectacular. And very shortly after commencing his presentation, he fainted, the poor guy. He had a bit of a stumble and fell over, and it looked like he hit his head on something on the way down as well, and he was not a well man. He was immediately, of course, rushed backstage and treated. He was absolutely fine. But, the poor guy, you got to feel for him. You know, it's his first outing.
Awkward.
Oh, it'd be so embarrassing.
Look, and I want to clarify this now. It wasn't ice, okay? It was not any form of drug like that. It was apparently he'd been travelling a lot and was just undernourished and overwhelmed and
physically
exhausted. Exactly. So yeah, no, not a great way to start the show, but that's what happened. Some other news, some big news coming out of the show. We'll go through a bit of newsy stuff first. So pretty much confirmation, guys, that we will never see another Holden V8 sedan.
That's
sad news.
That's weird. I mean, I can't even imagine a world without a V8 Holden sedan.
So Stefan Jacoby, I think that's his name. He's the head of General Motors International, which incorporates Holden.
Yeah.
Said basically that Australians should get over it. And
you get over it.
Yeah. And said, you know, but you know, it's just not going to happen. There will be some kind of performance car down the track with a Holden badge with a V8. It sounds like, but it won't be a sedan. It won't be a big Commodore sedan. Do you think that's a bit sad, Tony?
A little bit sad. A little bit sad. I have a fondness for V8s, and it's sad to see them go. But if they still have a V8 somewhere in the lineup, I think that's going to keep me happy.
Okay.
Keep guys like me happy.
Yep.
Where would it be, though? What can they offer?
Well, it sounds like it's going to be some kind of international sports car.
A two-door of some description.
Yeah.
Okay.
Theories are either Camaro or Corvette.
Which, at this stage, not built in right-hand drive, I think. I don't know how they're going to do it. But it's, I think there are a few Holden fans are a bit devastated with that news. But, I mean, it's also not a huge surprise, I think. Something like that was kind of going to happen.
But the V8 is going to go out with a bang because we're going to get a 6.2 before it goes.
Right. Yeah, yes. It's going to be
sassy. So basically, like, every Commodore will have an HSV engine, effectively.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
There you go.
There you go. So suck it up, everyone. Tony O'Kane, some other news as well. I say your name because I feel like you would be more excited about this than everyone else, but I could be wrong, and that is about Mazda Mazda bringing back the Rotary.
You very much are, but carry on.
Yeah. So it hasn't been officially confirmed by them, but it sounds like it's happening.
The noises that they're making is that there's probably going to be some big news regarding Rotary-engined sports cars at the Tokyo Motor Show, which is coming up very shortly. And that's exciting because Rotary engines are kind of unique in the motoring world. They're a bit strange. There are no pistons. And they're generally pretty good for sports cars. But they haven't been making rotary engine cars since the RX-8.
And why is that?
Because they're kind of hard to pass an emissions test. But maybe if they consult with Volkswagen, perhaps they can figure out a way to get this thing past the test. There. But yeah,
the other reason we like rotary engines is their correct name is actually a Wankel engine.
It is.
There
it?
Is some potential there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm seeing badges. I'm seeing boot badges.
Aren't they
powered by Wankel?
Wankel. I do like that.
Yeah.
I do like a Wankel.
Fast stroking Wankel.
Oh, fast stroking.
I've stroked my Wankel. What do you think?
We are descending into some kind of sickery.
It's great. It's excellent.
Yeah. No, it's true.
Long lasting Wankel. That's good because they've sorted the reliability issues.
Well, and that's a big thing, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is. That's one of the other problems.
Yeah,
yes.
And that's,
there's a component in the engine called the lobe tip. And I'm not making it up. I know I'm the one who was talking about Wankels before, but yeah, they wear out and you lose compression and the engine dies. So they're not the most reliable.
No. We have a colleague who has an RX-8.
Yeah.
And I think he's had many problems.
It's a labour of love. You really do have to be...
Yeah, with his lobe tips. But you're right. You have to really, really love it. So that's going to be interesting if they can fix those kind of issues. That would be terrific. Still on Mazda. So as we know, the BT50 Ute guys, that is a co-development with Ford and the Ranger at the moment. Talk is that it could be based on the Toyota Hilux guys. Because they couldn't... Would they be doing something like this? Mazda can't possibly go ahead and develop something like this on their own?
Well, Mazda's not. It's a fiercely independent company, but it's also a relatively small one, particularly if you're putting up against the likes of, say, Toyota or Nissan. So for them to have to seek a partner is... They kind of have to do it. Otherwise, they just can't have a Ute in their lineup at all.
Yeah.
So going from Ford to Toyota is probably a decent move for them.
Yeah. I think that wouldn't be a bad thing, would it?
Certainly not with that precedent. I mean, the Navara is going to be spun off into a Mercedes and a Renault Ute. So.
Yeah.
God, everyone's jumping into bed together, aren't they?
Well, I found out the other week that the previous Nissan Navara was sold in America as a Suzuki Ute.
Really?
Yes. Right. The Equator.
That's a good name.
Yeah, right. I know, right.
Suzuki Equator. Mm. That's good.
Never came here, but that's all right. Yeah, no, but you're right. Everyone's... And look, it makes complete sense. So good for them. Some other news. There will be no sexy, hot Volkswagen Passat, apparently.
Why not?
Well, some dude said something to a journalist.
Okay, do we believe
him? And knocked it on the head that there might not be an R36, but then some other dude from Volkswagen said he'd like one. But apparently everyone's saying they would like one, but no one's actually doing anything about it. So no fast Passats for the moment.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame.
Because was it the R36?
Yeah.
That was the V6, that was 3.6. Yeah, that was
quite
great.
A popular little thing, wasn't it?
That was a brilliant car. It was a real good all-rounder. Yeah. Did loads of, you know, it was good for the petrol head, but the family person, you know. You know, I nearly said family man. I thought that was sexist.
I'm glad you didn't. Thank you so much. Oh,
that's a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you.
And potentially, Dan Gardner, Land Rover might expand their lineup.
Yeah, that's right. I wrote that, didn't I?
About
yeah,
it,
I did.
Didn't you?
No, I'm jet lagged, right? I don't remember what I wrote. Yeah, no, I had a chat to Jerry McGovern, who is the Land Rover designer, a very fabulous man. He's sort of a tiny English man, but he's very stylish. And I bailed him up on the Jaguar Land Rover stand at Frankfurt just after he finished his presentation. And I said, so what about it? Come on, you know, you make really good big SUVs, but you can't compete in the smaller SUV end of the market. And he sort of alluded to the fact that they are working on something. You know, he said, yeah, okay, we can't ignore that segment. We are expanding the lineup. You know, Jaguar, which is very closely connected, has now entered the SUV market with its F-Pace. And he said, you know, we're constantly examining the market and where we can compete next. And so from reading between the lines, he couldn't confirm anything on the spot. He did say they're looking at it.
A small, small...
Small to compact SUV. So smaller than anything they've got at the moment.
So I was driving behind the Discovery Sport on the way here, and I thought it looked really little. I've not driven one. I don't know if you guys have. I don't know much about the car. But it doesn't look that big. But it's seven seats.
It is a seven.
It's seven seats. I wouldn't want to be in the third row.
Right.
Yeah, seats six and seven are rather compact. And yeah, it is a small car. It's a replacement for the Freelander, so it's not gigantic.
So this would be going really small. This is like we're talking... I
mean, if we're talking something smaller than a Range Rover Evoque three-door, then that's quite tiny.
Yeah.
Like minuscule.
For an SUV.
You could put it in your pocket or something.
Possibly.
Cool, I like the idea.
Yeah, pocket size. A Land Rover
pocket. Maybe just talking about a toy.
Yes. That's a bit... Well, yeah, that would be weird.
Oh, God, what a rubbish story I wrote.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, Dan. Call yourself a journalist.
Idiot. No, I'm just kidding. Now, we do have a lot more to talk about the Frankfurt Motor Show.
Yeah, but hang on, before we go, Daryl has made a sausage joke.
Woohoo!
He says, "Hi guys, may I say that you are a brat of the worst kind." he's spelt worst versed. Thank you, Daryl.
I love it.
He also said something else, but I don't understand, so I'm just going to read out. "Hi guys, did you ever think that the head of BMW falling and hitting his head might just be a stunt to foreshadow the launch of their hat with airbase? What does that mean? Are you using predictive messaging, Daryl, and that actually put two words in there don't make any sense?"
Hat, I would say, would be car.
Car with air. Thanks, Daryl. If you'd like to send in a backup message to explain what on earth you're talking about in that, that would be lovely. Thank you.
I think he's talking about an airbag-equipped hat, which is a very sort of niche product, but maybe there's a market for it.
I would like to say that. Okay.
But do stick around. We're going to talk about all the sexy metal.
And keep the nonsensical messages coming in.
Yes, please do. Please do. This is Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. You are with Tim, Dan, and Tony, and we have had some clarification on an earlier point,
no,
I believe.
No, we haven't. So Daryl is texting back in again saying, "Yep, an airbase equipped hat." So he's made the same typo again.
Well, it might not it might be
or he's deadly serious.
What is an airbase? Yeah. What airbase?
You know what we need to? Let's look it up on the internet.
Not now, that's really bad radio.
That's true.
Just hear lots of mouse clicks and typing.
How do you type that again?
Yeah, hang on, it's bing.com. No, I'm kidding. Now, we are talking about the Frankfurt Motor Show. Dan was there, we weren't, whatever.
Yeah, I so was there. What do you want me to talk about next?
There.
Look, Frankfurt is a monster show. It is the biggest in the world. So big, in fact, there is a minibus service to ferry you from one end to the other.
Are you joking?
No, seriously, you can actually jump. I didn't because I'm not lazy. You can if you don't like walking squillions of kilometres a day. It is a spectacular place. The big players in Europe, like BMW, Audi, Mercedes, have entire buildings. Mm. Mercedes Tower was about five stories.
Wow.
And was basically the size of a decent sports arena. It was unbelievable.
I think I saw that a picture on it. Instagram from the gay motoring journalist I follow from America.
Oh, you're such a creep. I know that guy. He's lovely, actually.
But yes, and there was a picture of the Audi building that looked like the size of just the, you know, Melbourne Exhibition Centre on its own for one brand.
Audi had in their arena, they had, you know how it's customary now, any sort of decent... Yeah, I was just going to say, we got to cut in a second. Daryl has now sent in his third message saying, "Yes, an airbag-equipped hat." I have predictive... He actually says, predictive text.
I love it. I love it.
Yes, so Audi's room, they had huge LED screens on all four walls, as is customary now. You know, the technology in these vast monitors is incredible. And what appeared they had done from a distance was they had an image of each one of their models on the screen. But actually what it was a real one of the models of each on the screen. And they'd mounted it by its sort of tummy underneath, and they'd motorised the wheels, which I suppose they kind of have anyway. It's a car. It's got motorised wheels, Dan. Good one. And then they were able to manipulate the car, the real car, on top of the screen and make it look like it was driving along the image of the road that was moving underneath it. It was so cool. And they kept, so they had an R8 and it was going around a racetrack and it was just spectacular. I mean, the money to get...
This is the thing, though. It's like the money that, you know... Is it a bit obscene how much money?
Well, I suppose when there's people starving in the world, I suppose it is a little bit horrible, isn't it? But anyway, look, we're not here to talk about that, Tim.
No, we aren't. We are here to talk about the sexy, sexy metal that we saw at said show. Well, you saw. We saw it on the internet. Look, I'm going to call it. I am sorry to say this, guys. I thought this year was a little bit of a letdown.
Really?
Well, nothing made me go, "Oh yeah, I want to be inside that car."
Porsche Mission E did it for me.
Okay.
Yep.
Yes. And that was it.
Really?
Yes.
Peugeot Fractal? No?
Don't say fractal ever again. That is the dumbest word I've ever heard.
It's an actual word.
I know. Is it? Yeah. Does it mean something?
It's a mathematical term.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, I hate it anyway. And I hate maths. So there you go. That actually works really well. Thank you, Tony.
Oh, bless you.
You and your unusual prejudice.
Exactly.
There's a lot of them. No, look, I'm with you on the Mission E. This, if you get a chance, ladies and gentlemen, please go and have a look. As I choke on
I'm with
excitement.
You on your Mission E position.
Yeah. Oh. So this is Porsche's first kind of full electric concept, I guess you'd call it, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's a.
They're saying it's more than a concept, aren't they?
Well, yeah. It's not. They're not going to productionize that, but features from that car are eventually going to make it into a production car, and okay. I think that's quite exciting. I mean, they're definitely targeting Tesla with their Model S. Yeah. They've seen how successful that car has proved, and I think they want a slice of that pie.
Yeah,
and it's cool.
If they make that car, the Mission E, and it looks anything like, even slightly like, from a distance in the dark with squinted eyes. Like the concept, then Tesla are ruined.
Oh yeah,
because it is the most. For me, it was the highlight of the show. It was. Right, it was just. If you are near a computer right now,
immediately,
I demand you image search Porsche Mission E and tell me it's not the prettiest thing you've seen in a long time.
Especially that rump.
Oh, the rump! It looks like one of the last air-cooled 911s. It's beautiful. That continuous brake light that goes across the back. It's just, and it's four-door. Now, that's the most interesting thing is that why couldn't they have made the Panamera look like that? Because everyone criticizes the Panamera for being a bit awkward, which is their large four-door luxury thing. This thing just looks right as a four-door. It's brilliant.
Well, if it's any indicator of what the next Panamera looks like, it's going to sell its socks off.
Thank goodness for that. So, I mean, that was my only real highlight. And look, I must say the fractal. I did like the look of the fractal. That was my only other thing. Oh, no, that's cool. But it didn't blow my socks off.
I know that you happen to like Jaguar styling, Tim.
Yes.
Now, this is something that really concreted my opinion of the Mission E. To stay on that car just for a moment. I was stood there dribbling at the Porsche stand, and from behind me, I heard a very familiar Scottish accent. And lo and behold, it was Ian
Sean
Callum.
Connery. Oh, sorry.
Dream on. It was Ian Callum, the designer for Porsche. And I turned around and I said, Ian, what are you doing here? He said, this was the one thing I absolutely had to see at the show.
Wow.
So if the Jaguar designer, who's made things like the F-Type and the F-Pace, if he says he wants to see this car,
that's
it's a stand-up. That is an absolute, what's the word I'm looking for? Endorsement. There we go.
Yes. That's very, that is very exciting. Some other things, not too exciting, Audi e-tron Quattro, which is just like an electric SUV.
Yeah, it's all right.
Looks all right.
Yeah, it looks great.
See? Look at these reactions. That were exciting. Okay, aren't we? Right. Yeah.
Point proven.
Speaking
okay.
of reactions, what about Grips? The Nissan Grips.
With a Z.
Concept.
Tony, with a Z.
That is worse than Fractal.
No.
Grips.
Really? You're putting Grips above Fractal?
Yeah.
In terms of, we're just talking about looks,
it really
aesthetics.
Grabbed me. See?
Did it?
Grips. That was too obvious. Tony, like, oh my god.
Yeah.
No, look, this is so. What this is, and we talked about this before on the show, but it's a bit of a concern for some people if you're a fan of the Z cars of Nissan, which Tony O'Kane is a little bit.
Well, I own one.
Exactly, which we'll be talking about very soon. But, you know, they're talking about next Z car is going to be an SUV. What do you think about that?
Well, apparently, when they revealed the Grips, they distanced themselves from that rumor. Like, they said, this does not represent a future production car.
Uh-huh.
This is merely a design study. So for Z freaks like myself, those are comforting words. But to be honest, like if they called it something else and didn't have all those allusions to the Z name, I'd kind of dig it. It's a cool looking compact SUV, kind of like a Juke on steroids, or well, like meth, maybe some kind of extreme drug.
Yeah,
because it's a pretty wild design. Google it and let us know what you reckon. But I mind it. It's funky.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. And that's the other rumour as well, is that this could be a look at the next Juke.
Yeah.
Because that will be due for replacement pretty soon.
And that car is surprisingly popular, considering how it looks.
The Juke?
The Juke, yeah.
Yeah. It's, yes, I have nothing to say about that. not in a bad way. Now, the other big thing was the Mazda, and I don't know how to pronounce it.
Kueru.
Pardon?
Kueru?
Kueru?
Kueru.
Kueru. career move.
Literally no one in this room knows how to pronounce it. It's spelled K-O-E-R-U. It's a Japanese word meaning something.
Koeru.
Yes, possibly.
That was probably the best effort, yeah, I would say.
It is going to be a production model, and it is going to slip between the CX-3 and the CX-5, so it will probably be called the CX-4. And it's a very good-looking thing.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, agreed.
It's kind
very,
of like
it's very current Mazda.
Yeah, its size probably about the same as a CX-5, but it's got a sportier silhouette, a lower roof line, yeah. So it's fastback shape rather than a wagon profile. It's attractive.
Yeah, good job.
I liked the Mazda stand at the show because every car on it was Sol Red.
I hated that. They did that at something that I went to last year, and I just was like, oh, come on, Mazda.
But it looked cool. It was sort of like, it was visually spectacular. It was really good. It worked. I kind of liked
I get it. I do get it, but it's, I don't know, I feel like there's a lot of that Sol Red.
I've just been presented with a credit card. I'm not sure exactly what. Do we have FPOS in the studio?
No, we don't, sadly.
Let me give it back. I'm just going to read out the number.
But look, as far as concepts, there was one more big one. That was that Mercedes-Benz thing that extends itself, which is called
the IAA concept.
Yeah.
Or concept IAA, I
something
forget
dumb
which
like that.
Order was. But it was a weird shape-shifting transformer vehicle that elongates as it gets faster.
So hang on. So we've gone from, you remember the days when people said, oh, you drive a Porsche because it's a penis extension. Well, this car actually erects.
Yeah, it actually erects.
Gets longer.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah. That's taking it to a new level.
Really
interesting
technology.
I'm definitely not going to drive one of those.
You didn't see this in the flesh while you were over there?
Did you just say see it in the flesh?
Yeah.
Is that intentional?
Yeah.
Because we're making penis jokes.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Nice work. Nice work.
Thank you. That's subconscious.
It's natural.
Driving along. I would so do this. Driving along, see someone beautiful on the side of the road, make eye contact, and then extend.
Oh. I'm not sure if there's a manual override for that feature. It's meant to be like, you go above 80 and then it cuts
dynamic boot spoilers and stuff that you can put up manually. It would be the same thing, I'm sure.
In terms of production cars, guys, the big one, of course, the reveal was the Volkswagen Tiguan, the next generation one. That looks good.
Yeah.
It doesn't
look ugly.
Yeah.
Looks like a car.
Yeah,
this is the problem. This is the problem with major motor shows.
Yeah.
Is that when you're launching so many amazing concepts and all of these features, it's not just the cars that are there. They have like rolling chassis. They have demonstration. They have virtual reality. They have simulators. They have all these cool things going on. The normal cars, the production cars that are always going to look to a degree more conservative, kind of get swept under the carpet.
They do a bit, and it's which is why I don't think there's a lot of value in car makers showcasing their such an important model like that. I think they should have waited when there wasn't a motor show. Did you happen to see while you were there the BorgWarned BX7, Dan?
I did. They had quite an interesting stand, actually.
Yeah.
They'd done it well.
Okay.
They need to get their profile up because no one knows who they are since they stopped making cars back in the 50
years ago.
So they've got an SUV. It's a hybrid, and they had all their technology on display. It actually looks quite advanced.
Okay.
Surprisingly, I'm not mad on the look of it. But the thing they did was so clever is they had an original BorgWarned, this beautiful old two-tone coupe.
Oh, nice.
And that was sat there looking very proud. And it's interesting because the two cars look nothing like one another.
Yeah.
They're not trying to do that whole retro sort of, nod to. But they actually did a pretty decent job of publicising their cause. And it was interesting to see.
I would suspect that some of our friends at Motor Friends, the wonderful group that you can join, have somebody in that group has got to have a BorgWarned.
If you are listening
and you are from Motor Friends and you have a BorgWarned, text in 0427JOY949. We would love to hear from you. Other big reveals, of course, Renault Megane. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago because we saw it a couple of weeks ago. Jaguar F-Pace looks exactly like what we thought the Jaguar F-Pace SUV was going to look like.
No bad thing. Looks great.
Infiniti Q30.
That looked quite nice in the metal.
Flesh.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was actually quite good. Good colour. It's kind of like it's like a pinky sort of salmony peach sort of thing.
Oh, I just because threw
Infiniti,
up in my mouth.
Infiniti doesn't really have a great track record when it comes to making good looking cars, let's be honest. So that car passed your test.
I quite like it. It's a step in the right direction. It's not quite there yet, but it's proportionally, it's quite nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Actually, I take back the word. Nice is a crap word. Mm. I'm going to say it is eye-catching.
Mm. Yeah.
Worthy of attention.
Okay, yeah. I support that.
Yeah.
All right.
Which is better than nice.
Good. Well, that's our wrap of Frankfurt, guys.
No, it's not. You haven't mentioned what? No.
What?
No, there's one more car that you haven't talked about, and I want to.
All right.
Very briefly, because you're looking at the clock.
Yes.
The Bugatti. Yes.
Isn't that
yes,
a, that's not yeah, real, that's though?
It is. I saw it with my own two faces.
But it's going to be, isn't that from that game?
Yeah, okay, yeah. So it is a concept, effectively. But it is the most spectacular. The Porsche was beautiful. This thing was just a, it was like receiving a sledgehammer to the face. It was wonderful.
Really?
Yes,
it doesn't sound wonderful at all.
It was
sledgehammer to the face.
What's your idea of fun, Dan?
Masochist.
Oh, dear.
So, but this is, what's the game? Gran Turismo?
Gran Turismo, yeah.
So all of the manufacturers have been invited to release concepts within the game. Some of them are so proud of them, including Hyundai. They've actually made, not real versions, but actual ones that you can roll out on a stage. They're not just pixels on a screen.
No.
So Bugatti has done it with this Vision GT, and it is absolutely sensational. And Hyundai did it with their N2025, which is a dual fuel cell powered electric car. Amazing.
Which we're going to talk about very soon as
well. Oh, sorry.
No. All good, all good. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Dan, you really circled some ring, didn't you?
Right, where to take this then? Thank you for that introduction.
Sorry, Tim. I know, I didn't know where to go with that.
Okay, so yes, while I was in Europe, I was given a very nice opportunity to do something I've always wanted to do. As a motor journalist, I'm lucky that I frequently, well, not frequently, but occasionally visit racing circuits. And this is one I have wanted to see and experience for a long time. It is, of course, the Nürburgring. Sorry, Nürburgring.
The Nürburgring.
Which is in Germany. And it is notorious. It's been given the nickname the Green Hell because it goes through some of Germany's most beautiful countryside. And it is a very challenging circuit indeed. It's notorious for being very easy to crash on. And it's a very high-speed circuit. So when you do crash, everything explodes. So I was out visiting Hyundai's Research and Development Center, which is actually trackside. It's right there. It's one of the few companies in the world that actually has an R&D center right there. And I was there to drive. Okay, now, when I drove Bathurst for the first time, it was in a Hino 300 series truck. And when I drove the Nürburgring for the first time, I was in an i30.
A Hyundai i30.
Yes.
It's one of Australia's top-selling cars.
It is.
Very sensible motoring.
But it is no match for the supremely tuned Porsches, Ferraris. There was even a couple of Radicals, which are basically road-legal race cars, single-seat race cars. So I set out on the Nürburgring, one of the most terrifying tracks in the universe, in a sensible hatchback. And it was glorious. One of the best things I've ever done. I should mention this is the i30 Turbo, so it's not quite your sensible hatchback. Okay. It's actually got a 1.6-litre turbocharged four-cylinder in it. And it's a manual as well. So actually,
this is a car, we don't get this in Australia.
We don't. Now, the reason we don't get it here is because we get the i30 SR, which has got a normally aspirated 2-litre engine. It makes approximately the same power, and it's available as an auto, is it? Yes, it is.
Sure.
So the i30 Turbo, only a manual, which means it probably wouldn't sell here very well if they did bring it here. Actually, now, I was discussing with a couple of other journos who I was driving with, and we said that for a first outing on the Nürburgring, this actually is the best car you could probably do it in. Because it won't let you go to those speeds that are just terrifyingly dangerous. And it's also a front-wheel drive, so relatively forgiving. And it's a manual with a four-cylinder turbo in it. It's actually fun.
That
so
fun.
There we were. Hacking around this amazing, spectacular racing circuit, the Green Hell, and would you believe it? We actually started passing cars. We got so into the swing of things that we actually managed to start overtaking a few things you wouldn't think so. So, like, a couple of big old Mercedes, big old V8 Mercedes, who were just, you know, lumbering and heavy, and the i30 was a little bit lighter and a bit more predictable and forgiving. And before you know it, I was all over a Caterham 7.
Oh. Nice.
Now, a Caterham 7 is a track-born car, but the problem is they're a little bit twitchy. If you don't know what you're doing and you push it too far, then you're going to be very embarrassed. In the i30, if you're a complete cack-handed novice like me, then you can't really put a foot wrong. So we spent a wonderful afternoon driving around. I managed 3 laps. It doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a 21-kilometre-long circuit.
Wow. That is...
That's the problem. That's why it's so dangerous, is it's 73 turns or corners, and you just forget where you are. You have to spend your whole life driving that circuit to remember it and master it. So, look, it was one of the most spectacular things I've done. To be able to go out, drive the Nürburgring 3 laps, and survive... was a life-affirming moment, and I will be back.
It's funny, I've got a very dear friend of mine who it was one of his dreams as well to do this, and he was over there recently and did it, and he did it in a Suzuki Swift Sport.
Yeah.
And similar thing, kind of reasonably sensible, a bit of a warmed over kind of thing, and he just thought it was one of the best things he's ever done.
Yeah, absolutely. And there were...
You don't need, as you say, these mega powerful cars.
And there were some serious cars passing all the time.
Just would be terrifying, I think,
highlight,
something like that.
Some dude got talking to him, very nice British chap, had driven over for the day, McLaren P1.
No way.
Just decided he was going to put his P1, $2 million worth of car.
Hybrid mega car.
Yes, yes. On the Nürburgring. And he was driving it hard as well. It was incredible.
What did it sound like?
Incredible. It was the best sounding thing on the circuit. You could hear it from an absolute mile away.
Because what? It's a hybrid, though.
It's a V8 twin turbo with a hybrid system. So it sounds and drives like... Yeah.
So it's not like a hybrid Camry when that pulls away. It's not like that, Dan.
Not really, no.
Doesn't sound like a tram.
No. No, so it was quite intimidating setting out on the circuit with so many other really capable and potent cars. But there's a sort of an understanding. There's like an agreement on the circuit, you know, that everyone is there to have fun. Everyone has a place there.
Yeah.
What was utterly terrifying was the motorbikes. Because the bikes are so slow in corners and they're really fast on the straights. And do you know what I saw? I saw someone pillion on the back of a bike and they were not sparing the ponies. It was absolutely terrifying.
That's a bit silly. We don't support that here, of course. We support safety first.
We absolutely do. We absolutely do. And it was a safe day. Everything went. It was one of the few days that I've ever heard of where no one crashed, actually. So.
Well, that is a positive thing. That is a very positive thing. Now, Tony, you were also very recently at a racetrack, a little closer to home, this one.
A lot closer to home, a lot less lengthy than that 21-kilometre monster that Daniel was driving on. I went to Winton the other weekend just for a bit of a fun track day.
Now, where's that?
That's near Benalla, sort of central Victoria region. It's about a two and a half hour drive from Melbourne. Just went out to have some hoon time.
What were you driving?
This was in your own...
In my own car.
Basically, this is so a bunch of people get together and they take their own beasts up. Is that right?
Yep, pretty much. I have a Nissan 300ZX and it's my first car, actually, and I don't do anything with it these days, so I figure I may as well run it on a racetrack.
Yeah, right.
And it's good fun. It is good stress release, and in a day and age where hooning and being a petrol head is kind of frowned upon, it's great to just go to a racetrack and just let rip.
So can anyone, if I wanted to do this, how would I go about doing that? Or do you have to be part of a club? Or?
The best way to do it is probably to get cozy with a club of some kind and ask them, if they do track days on a regular basis. A lot of them do.
Yep.
And just have a car that's reasonably trackable. And most modern cars are fine. Maybe not a hybrid Camry, like mentioned before.
Or maybe not my 2004 Subaru Forester base model.
You know what? Auto. There was a Forester, not a base model automatic, but there was a Forester at this particular
GT
tractor.
Or whatever it is.
A GT, a turbo thing. But it was still this dude's family car, and he brought it out for a weekend of fun. And
it is advisable to be good at driving.
But you get better at driving by attending these.
True,
things,
so. And I've been lucky enough to share cars with you on launches before, Tony, and you're a very good driver.
Excellent driver.
And I've seen footage of you driving your Fair Lady, and you do a damn good job of it.
Well, yeah, there's the magic of editing, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh.
Driving
the car. The Japanese market name for my car is Fair Lady Z. Yeah, it's very masculine. That's part of the reason why I bought it.
It's very tough on cars, isn't it, track days?
It can be, yeah. So tyres, your brake pads, you're going to have an elevated wear with those items. But if you keep your car in good health, you'll probably survive.
And what about the safety element? Are there people there just in case something goes wrong?
As if you're concerned about safety, you're at track day.
You'll have to wear a helmet if you're going above certain speeds. There's a guy with an ambulance.
Okay, ready to go.
Yeah, pretty much.
Good to hear.
They will make you sign lots of bits of paper. If you explode, then we will just basically fold our arms and look the other way for a moment.
Exactly.
Indemnity forms, gotta love them.
Speaking of looking the other way, guys, we have to look the other way as we're walking out the studio because the show is over.
Nice segue.
Right, just very quickly before we go, our most loyal listener this week, Daryl, has texted and saying, what's the difference between Frankfurt show and the Paris show? It is effectively the same show, but in different countries. So it alternates between the countries. Yes. So this year it's Frankfurt, next year it'll be Paris, and then back again. So it's the biggest show. It's the European motor show, and they just share the load around because it is so monstrous.
Exactly.
Good question.
Yeah, exactly. Very good.
Thank you,
Darren. All right, boys. Thank you so much. Tony O'Kane, thank you. Lovely to see you again.
You're welcome.
We'll hopefully see you soon. Dan Gardner, we'll totally see you soon.
You totally will. And can I say thank you? Because it's not often that we are on the show together.
I know, right?
Anymore,
now it's
and
nice
I
to be
really
back.
Enjoy it.
It's so good to see you.
I just sit here with my hands on my face and just looking at you.
Thank God you said face. Now, that's enough of us from Fender Bender. My name is Tim Nicholson, signing off. Do stick around. The guys from Techno Gaze are up next. Safe driving.
This has been a Fender Bender podcast for Joy 94.9, Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station. See joy.org.au for more details.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.